We're getting ready to read your rights here at Copyright Clearance Center. Welcome, everyone. My name is Chris Keneally. Looking forward to another Beyond the Book podcast. And joining me today is a colleague of mine here at Copyright Clearance Center, Scott Klebe. Scott, welcome to Beyond the Book.
Well, Chris, thanks for having me here.
Well, it's nice to see you here. I see you a lot. You're in the office all the time, but it's nice to sit in the studio with you and chat about a presentation that you gave at Tools of Change, the very important and very popular conference that the O'Reilly Media Group puts together in New York City back about a month and a half ago, and that was picked up and covered by Andrew Albanese in Publishers Weekly. I think it raised a lot of interest in some of your thoughts, and I want to sort of parse out the argument that you made there. And I think the principal thing, and we've been following it on the Beyond the Book podcast, is that with technology, change never really comes to an end. You talked about the e-book war, and you made the point that wars usually end with someone a victor and someone defeated. But this is a war that even if people declare victory, it's not over yet.
That's right, Chris. And in particular, what I would say is that, throughout last year, we saw, the Amazon tussles with the publishing industry, the release of the iPad, throwing everything up in the air in ebook publishing. And the tech press always loves to see, say, this party won or this company won. It's all Amazon or it's all Apple now. But I think that's really looking at it too short a time frame. When you look at the longer run, there's going to be a lot of back and forth. We've got an established industry in publishing that's got players that are literally hundreds of years old and that are continuing to experiment, have an opportunity, and they have time to try to adjust to the new reality.
Well, in your presentation at Tools of Change, you talked about how, yes, publishing has been a stable market, but new technology, it introduces disruption, and disruption is never good for established players.
That's right, and it's important really to realize that we are looking at possibly the classic kind of disruption that Clay Christensen talks about in The Innovator's Dilemma, where you have publishers as the established players, they've been doing well by focusing on an existing value chain, but also in leaving open some opportunities for new players to enter. And one of the interesting thing here is that the new players here are actually authors who might not be getting service from their customers, the publishers that they're looking for, where you have authors like with new opportunities to go direct to their readers through Amazon Direct Publishing, to the Kindle, iPad Direct Publishing, Nook Direct Publishing, and really getting some amazing success. And the question is whether this is something that the existing publishing industry can embrace and grow stronger with, or whether it's a real threat to the current publishing industry as we see it today.
Well, it's an interesting point, and I'm an author myself. I know you have an ambition along the same lines. A lot of people today are writing, blogging, and so forth, so they're thinking about their works in ways that really require some focus on the very question of rights. And I know that's what your proposal, or your presentation, rather, all comes down to. It's all about rights. But before we get into who needs to know their rights right now, tell me about how we've got to this point where the disruption has enabled the authors. I'm thinking it's rather like, that comet that slammed into the Earth a few hundred million years ago, whatever it was. It took down the big creatures, but it was the little tiny ones running around in the grass that managed to survive. Is that the kind of situation we have right now?
Well, I wouldn't think it's as potentially sudden as that, but a disruption is like that. It favors the newer entrant.
The more agile, the more nimble.
The one who's able to. The key point is who's able to function on lower margins in different lower margin opportunities than the big players can. Right, because an author who's selling a book for $3 a copy, that's not a sustainable price in today's publishing industry. But with the way that Amazon has worked to structure this direct market, it's something that the author, working as an individual without other people getting into the value chain, can really love and really find really profitable. So if that became a really widespread publishing model for authors, publishers will really have to adapt and find ways to either offer greater services that the authors can't get by going straight to Amazon, whether that's through the still much larger print market, whether it's additional promotional opportunities, access to different markets, other media, movies, TVs, what. That is really going to be the test of publisher sustainability in this.
Well, and you know, you said if, but it's not so much if as, well, it's happening right now. I mean, there are many examples of authors who are thriving in that new ebook environment.
Well, just in the last couple of weeks, we've seen a couple of really interesting parallel examples. You have Amanda Hocking, a young author who's been very, very successful selling direct on the Kindle, literally hundreds of thousands of books sold, multiple titles in the Amazon top 10 at the same time. And she's just decided that she really wants to go with a traditional publisher because she's been doing all the hard work of promoting herself in this digital market for a few years now, and she wants to get back to her what she really loves doing, the writing.
Right, she's had enough of all the rest of the work. She just wants to do the writing.
And not only that, everybody's best guess at the proportion of the market is that by going simply after people who are buying digitally, she's maybe seeing only 30-40% of the full addressable market for her work. So if she gets the print deal, she can get and with the muscle behind it that a big publisher can deliver, she can be in she can have her books in CVS and Walmart and in airports and the places where real high volumes come from. And in addition to just whatever a print on demand publisher could give her, and that's a really big thing for her. But the interesting thing is that within days of her announcing that she'd signed a really, really nice deal with a traditional publisher, Barry Eisler, a highly successful, best-selling thriller author with a long history, has announced that he has turned down.
He's walking away.
He's walking away from Money on the Table, a substantial deal.
I think
for
a seven-figure deal.
Six
or seven. I think in the millions, wasn't it? It was over a million.
Well, $500,000 for two books, which
okay.
is certainly enough money for any of us to think
I'll take
twice
it, right?
about it. Absolutely. if anybody, I'm ready for that right now, in fact. And the reason he's doing that is he's going to be going direct to Kindle and the other, and the Nook and the iPad and all of that. And it's not so much that he thinks he'll see more of the immediate cash flow from doing that. He'll sell more right away to make up for the money he's walking away from. It's that over time, the difference just mounts up to the point where he felt that he could not afford at this point in his career to turn away from the years and years of what he foresees as the substantial increment in income by keeping more of each sale on digital, even if he walks away from the print.
Well, the point that you make in the presentation is that it's all about rights, and of course that's a subject we care about at Copyright Clearance Center, so I thought I might ask you to take us through the various parties that need to know their rights and really understand why things have changed and how they need to be prepared for the change.
Well, absolutely, and we've just been talking about authors. So, of course, authors, you got to know where your rights are, because this is a rare moment in which there, and I don't foresee this lasting forever, in which it might be the case that your backlist rights could be more valuable in your hands than in your publisher's hands. I've talked to a lot of authors who are experimenting with this, and certainly by no means is everybody seeing the kind of outstanding success that Amanda Hocking is, and she herself is the first to say there's a lot of luck, there's a lot of work, there's a lot of timing. But certainly, there's an opportunity to sell on the Kindle now. It's certainly better to be in print on the Kindle than out of print
and nowhere
in paperback.
Else. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so you need to know when you get your if you have rights coming back to you, you should absolutely be looking at what kind of opportunities are out there for you in the digital marketplace. It's all about getting the best return too. Because if you're out there and you're selling one or two, books that are never going to earn out your initial advance, some of your older stuff might have an opportunity, maybe add up to a mortgage payment or a car payment
or
for you.
Or at least a nice dinner out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But if you're a new author, you got to think about what's important to you. Because you know, as an author, you know, I'm still there for, I want to see my books. I mean, you know, if I'm writing a book, I want to see that on the end cap at Barnes & Noble. I'm going to want to hope for that cardboard stand and all that. The feature, you know.
And the call from Oprah and all the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly. Not that's not going to happen with a digital publisher, but it's about where the recognition is, right? If what you want is the recognition as an author, and you don't want to have to say, you know, maybe you don't want to have to say, yeah, I just published myself on the Kindle and I'm selling 10 copies a month, and you know, it's a nice chunk of change. There's still right now a little bit of a stigma, and maybe that's not fair for there to be a stigma. There is about going direct, and is that really as big a deal as it being an author in the same way that you are if you've got the deal from Random House or Macmillan or something like that?
Who else do we have to worry about? Who else should know their rights?
Agents. You know, I hope that every agent's aware that certainly authors are hearing about this. And the question for an agent is, how do I help my authors make the best deal for them, right? Because an author with a long backlist, that they, you know, you need to watch out for whether that the rights are where they're going to do the author the most good.
And if there's any opportunity to recapture those rights where they may be sort of on ice somewhere, now's the time.
And worrying about not giving them away. Right. You want to make sure that you're getting the return for your client, because I think there is going to be a role for agents in this author direct world. There's still deals to be made. There's still the subtleties of contracts that authors are poorly equipped to evaluate without the experience of seeing them every day and over the years.
Right. What about publishers? I mean, they've got some rights in this environment as well, too.
Well, publishers have to know what's going on right now. I'm not talking about just the big six, but the thousands of independent publishers going forward. I hope you're seeking to acquire an ebook right so that you can participate in this publishing transition. I really want to try to push publishers to think, are you competitive on price? So one thing that authors who've gone straight to the Kindle have discovered is that book buyers are very price aware. They're seeing prices, they're seeing sales increase on lower prices. They're seeing an opportunity to boost a particular titles up into, you know, up into the higher reaches of the bestseller list, whether by genre or overall, by temporary promotions. And this is something you can't really do in print, right? You can't drop a hardcover book to 99 cents for a week to get it onto the New York Times bestseller list. Well, here's a big thing to be aware of. You can do that with the Kindle. You can change the price every day if you want.
Well, every hour, I suppose.
Every hour, yeah, absolutely. So you can try lowering a price for a while as a promotion. Lower the price on the first book of a series to get attention on the rest.
Right.
Right?
Well, you're asking publishers an interesting question, and it's one that probably they aren't used to thinking about, which is, in part, making the author a more close partner in this process, and that is, can authors sell ebooks better than publishers can? Why should publishers be asking themselves that?
Because you have to think of yourself when you're a publisher, as you're providing a service to a market, an author. If their Amazon is competing with you at the same time as they are being your retailer, they're trying to get your authors to go with them. They're offering the opportunity with what they're seeing as a better deal, a higher share of the royalty. If you naturally, publishers do a whole lot for authors. In terms of promotion, in terms of the advance, the financial advantage of being paid up front, the editing. Let's not forget the editing, the relationships with the retailer, looking for promotion, you know, in the print market, that spot on the front table at Barnes & Noble,
The book design really makes
exactly
a difference.
Exactly. So your authors have to be aware that you're doing these things, and they have to see that as a competitive value that you are delivering,
right?
Because they do have an alternative, particularly the authors, the mid-list authors or the backlist that's not doing as well as it used to. If an author can make more money without you, than she can with you, then that's a bad sign. I think you need to work on turning that around.
Well, what's interesting to me, and you know, we both attend enough of these conferences, I have found that publishing is a technology business now. There's no question about it. It's not as if it's emerging as one. Publishing is in the technology line, if you will. And you make a good point about the role of technologists in publishing now. What do the technologists, in your view, need to start thinking about?
Well, there's a real tendency in technology to say it's all, you know, it's game over, you know, right? So that it's, you know, it's Kindle, it's Nook, it's iPad, it's maybe even Google Bookstore and so on. So what else are we going to do? Well, there's a lot of room to improve the technologies that are out there for producing ebooks, for helping customers find ebooks, for making reading a richer experience, for, you know, if you're producing book for the Kindle. How can you make that final product look better than it does today? If you read a lot of books in the Kindle the way I do, you see all kinds of things would qualify as just really bad proofing problems, right? So that's a failure of the content creation technology to deliver Amazon copy that looks great in that form. How can you work on that? How can you make it easier to integrate images, to integrate video, sound, with a trade nonfiction in particular? There's so much opportunity to deliver a richer experience with your book on the Civil War. Are there photos?
Music.
Exactly. If you're talking about technology, you're not offering something that works. Yeah, that's live in front of the user.
Well, you know,
what opportunities are you missing?
What strikes me is that then the role of the technologist is to do something that publishers and authors themselves have always been concerned about, which is ultimately credibility. You know, if it doesn't work when you press the button, if it doesn't provide you with the experience that you are expecting when you come in, it's failed, and the customer, rather like if you go into a restaurant, if it's a lousy meal, you don't usually complain, you just never complain. Back.
Right. There's so much opportunity to increase the reader's engagement with the content right now. And today, the books that do this really well are being produced by technology firms, like actually developer consultancies working with an author. Well, that's not so, over time, you know, not every author is able to afford to pay consultants to develop the book technology. There's got to be product that helps a content creator create the kind of really rich experience that the readers are going to be looking for.
Right. Well, we've been chatting with my colleague at Copyright Clearance Center, Scott Klebe. And Scott, you know, because the program you have presented at Tools of Change and plan to present elsewhere is called The Arc of Publishing. You've put this all in a bumper sticker. I really like it. It's predict your own arc. What do you mean by that?
Well, thinking of change over time, it's always going somewhere, right? So, if you're not trying to predict where things are going, it's like trying to catch a ball without seeing it thrown. You know, the easiest ball to catch is the one you throw yourself, right? So, yeah, if you see where something is going, if you're looking at the ball as early as on, then you know where it is, and you get yourself in front of it to make the play at the end.
Well, you know, the great hockey player Wayne Gretzky said, "You don't skate where the puck is; you skate where it's going to be."
And you only know where that is by paying attention and trying to figure things out for yourself.
Well, you've helped us sort some of this out, Scott, and appreciate you doing so. We've been chatting with my colleague at Copyright Clearance Center, Scott Klebe. Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
I was really happy you asked me to do this, Chris.
Well,
thank
it's
you.
Been fun. We'll see you in the lunchroom. This is Chris Keneally at Beyond the Book. For everyone at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening.